We're continuing in our Bible study tonight in the book of Revelations. We are studying in the 13th chapter we just began, this 13th chapter of the book of Revelation this past week. I think most of you have been here for our Bible studies, so we won't go over any of the past studies so that we can get into this. Chapter 13 is a continuation of chapter 12. In this time that we are studying. Last week we read verse 1 and 2. I'm going to reread these tonight to continue the third verse. That's Revelation, the 13th chapter. And John, speaking as these things are being revealed to him, said, "I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority." As we read this, we found that it is the same three animals used to describe the empire of the Antichrist, the leopard, the bear, and the lion, that Daniel used in chapter 7 in the book of Daniel. We studied this, the only difference being that John sees it looking back, because this is history that has already happened. It's already passed, as John sees it at the end of our time, and Daniel is seeing it ahead of time. He's seeing it as future. So the only difference being in the description of how they are described. Daniel reads them just the opposite, starting with the lion, the bear, and the leopard. And John seeing them looking back on time at these empires as the leopard, the bear, and the lion. Daniel used these talking about the three world empires preceding the Roman Empire. The beast was Daniel's symbol, and it stays the same as we studied this when we laid the foundation of studying into prophecy, that when there are symbols used, if you remember, that they're always the same. They don't change from one place to another. In the scriptures, if a symbol is used for one thing, it stays the same throughout the Bible. Symbols aren't put there for us to imagine or guess what they mean, but they are there, and in one place or another we find the meaning, the biblical meaning of the symbol, and you stay with it throughout the whole Bible this way. Daniel uses the symbol of the beast for the Roman Empire, and this is when it's in its final form. It will include all the other empires. When Daniel saw these empires in the seventh chapter, remember they were still future, the three he saw. When John saw them, they were past, and this is why they are in reverse. The sands of the sea is the same meaning. It's always a symbol of masses of people. We saw this when Abraham was told that he would have a nation that would come from his seed that would be as the sands of the seashore. And it's still the same throughout the Bible. The symbol, the sands of the sea, is great mass of people or great numbers of people. The rise of a dictator and a very powerful conqueror from the common people. This is the horns of the beast rising above the level of the waters. The symbol applies both to the man and to his empire. For you to understand this, you're going to have to be with us up to this point. The symbol applies both to the man and to the empire. Also true of the same thing in Daniel's prophecy. The dragon, as in the 12th chapter here, showing dragon being Satan, had crowns on his head. Satan has always ruled over nations. In the end times, it's a little bit different in the times that we're coming into now. We find the crowns are on the horns. The horns represent the nations that will make up the nucleus of Antichrist's kingdom. which we know is the same land mass, same area around the Mediterranean Sea, which made up the Roman Empire. This is what Daniel was shown and what we read in Revelation and a number of places. The horns represent these nations, the 10 nations of the empire. When this beast rises out of the sea, out of the common mass of humanity, out of the people, six of the seven heads are history. We know when we studied in the book of Daniel, when we saw Daniel's vision, that this vision of history, Daniel saw it before it happened. He wrote about it, what he saw. He was told to write of his vision. Then it has proven right down, as the scriptures say, to the dotting of the T. Every single prophecy Daniel showed of world history is what his vision was about, has come true. Daniel saw it before it happened. And in Daniel's, he was writing about the future. And yet we've seen in each empire as it has came and gone in the history of this world, or maybe we would say the history of mankind. You can go to your school books and find exactly the same thing. When this beast rises, we're studying here in the 13th chapter, that Daniel saw before it happened, we find that there's only the one head left. The sixth one goes on to the seventh one, but the six are already history. Can anyone name these empires or the history of the six empires? And then, of course, the seventh is a continuation of the six. Does anyone have this from, do you have it down in your notes from whom we studied to begin with? Yes, the first two, that was passed when Daniel saw it, so, but start with the first two. These you had in school, and yet Daniel saw them before they ever happened, the last three of them. In the Roman Empire, the area it dealt with, the 10 countries at that time, maybe it will be more, but it'll be those areas, hence the 10 horns. We have here that these six heads no longer wear the crowns. The crowns are on the seventh head from John's period. What he's seeing here, John being ahead of time, which is still future even for us, it's at the time of the rapture. John's looking back at this already happening. We find the crowns on the seventh head. This is the one that we will be dealing with from now on in this study and in our time also, because we're living in this period of time. Let's go to the third verse in the 13th chapter. Remember, this is at the time of the rapture, and Satan, there's the battle fought in heaven, and Satan is cast out with his demons, his angels that had followed him in his fall. He's cast out to this earth. Satan is coming from a spiritual realm to a natural realm, and it takes away from what he can do, so now he needs a body. Verse 3, we see John again. He said, I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Here we see something strange happening to one of the heads. John saw one of them as though it were wounded to death. Doesn't say it was wounded to death. Listen to this carefully. It says, as it were. What have we learned about this when we see as it were, or as, or like? What have we learned in the scriptures when it says this? The scripture we know so well says that tongues as of fire, or like as fire, set up on each one of them. We know that it wasn't literally fire, it was the power of the Holy Ghost. We have a number of scriptures that says it was, looked like it was, or as. It seems to be, but it isn't quite like this. It's trying to describe something. Here it says that one of his heads, it was as it were. Wasn't, if it meant it was dead, it would just say was wounded to death. John saw one of these heads as it were wounded to death. Since the seven heads represent the seven human governments from beginning of time till the end of time, there's seven, like in everything else with God, seven is the number that means complete. And there's seven forms of government. We've had six. The seventh we're going into. Since these seven heads represent all human government of all time, then one head represents human government at one given time. This head that was wounded represents the man in power at the time that Satan is cast down to earth. This is right after the rapture takes place. This head appears to be wounded to death, as it were, means as though it were wounded to death. This is a very strong expression denoting that it's like it should be dead and yet it lives, this man. It is Satan's counterfeit of the resurrection. Satan has, from the beginning of time with mankind, tried to counterfeit everything that God has. Everything. We find all the way through the scripture that Satan brings the counterfeit very close as the tares and the wheat again, very close to what God has. Only by your own sincere desire within you, God, that he looks into the very intents of your heart. Only God looking down and seeing that you, as an individual, desire truth, can bring out and show you the difference between the counterfeit and the real, between the tares and the wheat. This is why there are so many that say, how do I know what's true? How do I know which is real? What do I know to believe? But it's very simple to God. I can't always, and neither can you, tell when someone is really sincere. We can have a pretty good idea, but only God really knows the intents of your heart. And only God knows, do you really want truth? Do you really want him? As he is, not as you would like God to be, or your imagination, or traditions of men, but as God is. And if you do, God will show you the difference between the tares, or the imitation, the counterfeit, and what is really from him. And only God alone looks into your heart and sees, are you willing to accept what he is? Do you want truth, even if it's not what you've always believed? This is the only way you'll ever be able to separate what Satan always puts out. His counterfeit is very close to the real, but it's not real. This one, this head, this one man that is close to being dead and yet he lives, is Satan's counterfeit of the resurrection. Remember, the rapture has just taken place. He's cast to this earth. He does not want attention on God. He is usually, as usual, wants all the attention upon himself. Any way that he can get your attention away from God, he uses. If it's just something small, the cares of this life, he doesn't care what it takes. If it's something great and big that would destroy you, he doesn't care. As long as he can separate you from God. The only way he can do that is if you allow it. If you allow it. God never, ever would allow him to step in and separate you from your God unless you yourself allow it. Satan now, after the rapture, is trying to draw the attention of the world away from the wonders of the rapture and direct it toward his own supposed miraculous powers. I say supposed because they're only as great as God allows him to have. It's nothing that he himself can do without God allowing to a certain point. Daniel describes this same happening, if you'll turn for a minute, to Daniel, the 11th chapter. He's describing the same thing, the, as it were, wound to death. He's describing it as he saw it, the same thing. Daniel 11, and reading verse 20. And then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Going back up to verse 14, it goes along with this. In those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. It doesn't really matter what Satan does. His end result is going to be the same. peoples, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people today. He can fool them. He's going to fool them in that day also, but his end result's still going to be the same. There will be those that understand the difference. Here we find this deadly wound that is as to death was healed. It doesn't tell us exactly how he receives this wound. It does tell us that it probably will be a sword, and it does tell us that it's not murder. It is a very spectacular death, but it's not murder. It says no one kills him, but doesn't say that it's probably a sword. This man that has raised up in power, the most powerful man in the world at this time, that takes place at the time we're studying into in the very near future, that raises up and that becomes so powerful because he's able to bring a semblance of peace, what he says and what he speaks about the entire world, not just one nation. This is going to be all over this earth. It's every eye is going to be on this man because he seems to be able to do something that we have not been able to reach for a number of years, and that is bring a semblance of peace and prosperity. We knew as long as there was prosperity and our own natural politicians and governments was able to bring this in the world, that Antichrist wouldn't rise. Because for him to take control and Satan to come and take this man's body, the world had to be in such a chaotic stage. It had to be in a stage of near depression, if not depression. It had to be in a stage of continuous warfare, to where the entire earth will be willing to let this man take the reins. He won't be king over, say, America and all, but we will give him the authority and the rule because his way seems to work. It has to be a time, as we're seeing entering in once more. Whether this time right now continues, I don't know. We have this man, the Antichrist, that this man and the Antichrist, there we have it separate. I'll go into this a little bit again. It's one and the same, and yet it is Satan and the man also. From this point on, when Satan takes over this body, when he takes over this man's body, it is exactly for that purpose, to take a natural body so that he's now in our realm, our natural realm. He doesn't want to just be in a spirit. He has a body. And from this point on, right here in the scriptures where we're studying, from verse 1 through verse 4, we have Satan ruling in person. Satan's ruled the entire world almost. It's always been in the spiritual form. From this point here in chapter 13, from verse 3, we found in verse 2 it said, the dragon, Satan, gave this man, he gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. So Satan gave him this before he ever came down and took up. So this man willingly turns himself over to Satan. And before Satan is cast out to actually take up his abode in this man's body, he's ruling through this man anyway. That's why this man has such great power and great authority and is able to fool most of the people. Satan does it today, doesn't he? Fools most of the people. We have here the dragon gives him his power and his throne and great authority. Although Antichrist will be Satan in the flesh, this man will be completely possessed by Satan, he will still have his separate personality, his personality all of his own, because we have where it shows us in the end that Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit, while Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire. Do you have any questions up until this time before I continue on this thought? I don't want to get too far ahead of you in case something that you have you want to ask about before we go on so you don't forget it. Go on over just a little bit further. We see that they know. So I would be pretty sure that he knew, because the world knows, the people know then, that they are worshiping Satan. they recognize him as such, they're not thinking they're worshiping the true God. They know who they're worshiping. So I would think that the Antichrist knows also. It's where he receives his power. That's why he is willing to do this. So I think that he definitely knows. It doesn't say they worship the dragon thinking that they're worshiping God. And anything so important as this, I think it would make it clear. It just says here in verse 4, they worship the dragon which gave power to the beast. So they know what they're doing. Any other questions? We'll continue. Sometimes there's people in studying this have difficulty separating the man and the empire, because Daniel, in talking about it, starts out showing the empire and then it changes over to the man. But it's still the same thing. All prophecy follows this same pattern in this respect, where you don't actually separate the empire from the man because the man is so powerful. It starts in history in Daniel and here in Revelation with the history of the empire. It starts with the history showing this because the empire first is very strong. Like we usually, in talking about Russia, when we think of the strength and power of Russia, we think of the country, don't we? Russia. We don't think of whoever it is that's in office right now, because it's the country. Even if this man dies, Russia stays the same. It's the country that's most powerful, not the man running it. The same with the United States. We don't think of the president. We think of the country being the strongest. And this is the way it starts in the Bible. It's a history of the empire, showing the rise and fall of the different empires in the world, until this final form of world dominion is reached. And that's what we're so close to now, much closer than we probably realize. Then the pronoun we have here changes from it, which is dealing with the empire, talks about it in Daniel, to the pronoun he, changing from the empire to the man. It doesn't change anything, except it's picking up where the country starts not being the empire, not just a country, it will be the 10 countries around the Mediterranean, where it's not the empire or the countries that is so strong and powerful. The man himself becomes the strength, so much stronger than just the empires, to where the whole earth is looking towards the man. So it changes from it, the empire, to he. And this takes place, remember, when the rapture, we go up and Satan's cast out onto this earth, and he actually takes up his abode in this man. Then it becomes the man that is so all-powerful, not just the empire. This is why you cannot separate the empire from the man until we reach the end of time. When this pronoun changes from it to he, this man becomes the fulfillment of the symbol. This is true in Daniel as well as in Revelation. So the man becomes the beast instead of just the empire. Any questions? We're past that time on talking about the empire and the man, so I'll back up just for a minute to the head where it was wounded. That is the time when Satan's cast out to earth. This is the time that the man, it could very easily be and probably will be a self-inflicted wound. It doesn't say, so I can't say, okay, it's going to be, but it does say it's not murder. No one kills and no one wounds him this deeply. This is the time that he seems as he's dead. When Satan enters into this man's body and raises him up so miraculously, that is when Satan, then the pronoun changes from it to him, which shows the man becomes stronger than the empires he's ruling. Does that help any more? We'll go on for a few more minutes. In the last days, which we are coming close to this time era, we can see it in all the newspapers, we see it in what we feel, we see it in all the news. this world has reached the place where it would be willing right now to come under the rule of anyone that could bring peace and prosperity. Has to reach this place because there will be world rule and there will be one world religion. The world in these end days will come under the complete rule of one man. This way, the Antichrist himself becomes the fulfillment of the symbol, the head that is wounded and restored is Antichrist. It leaves off from just the empire and becomes him, Antichrist, then. The man, up until this time, has already established himself over the empire, the area that was the Roman Empire around the Mediterranean Sea, these 10 countries. Before, he's already powerful, he's already strong, and he's already over the country. In order to survive and in order to bring prosperity back and to bring peace back, because everybody's fighting everybody else all over the world right now. And in order to bring that, if there is one man that rises up in their midst that seems to be able to bring this about, then that one man will be set up as ruler. And this does happen. This is the man. He's already at this time, not our time we're in now, but here in the scripture time, he already has established himself over the empire. This is right after the rapture. When Satan takes over his body, it in some way resembles a death and resurrection. This is what he is talking about here in verse 3. I saw this head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The beast being the man of power that Daniel saw and that John sees here. It, the empire, is now it becomes he, because now we start seeing it using pronoun he instead of it as an empire. There is, in these last days, before the coming of Jesus Christ for the bride, before the rapture, we are dealing with a man in Daniel. Daniel doesn't seem to recognize the empire of Antichrist because it's one and the same as the Roman Empire. It says it was and was again. The so-called death and resurrection of this man is the means by which Satan receives a body. This happens right after the rapture. Any questions up till now? All right, we'll continue. This man, Antichrist, will probably be recognized but not take power before. This is why I believe we've read before in the scripture where it says that he will rise up before the rapture, so he'll probably be recognizable. I scan the newspapers every morning, and I try several times a week to hear at least one news broadcast on the television, because I really see the Bible. It has been proven over and over and over. It is more authentic than any history ever written. It was just written ahead of time by God. We know what to look for. It's like Jesus said. He said, you're so foolish. You believe in the signs of the weather. You know, you can look at the weather and you can tell whether it's going to be cloudy or what's going to be sunshiny. And you can't discern the signs of the coming back of Jesus Christ. How foolish. Because his coming back is so much more important to us than anything else. Knowing this Bible, not just what you feel in God, although the whole world feels something's about to happen. You can't talk to anyone in this world if they don't know that something's going wrong. Something is happening in the world today. Knowing the scripture that bears witness with this makes me look for these happenings continuously, day by day by day. Instead of becoming worried or perplexed, as the scriptures calls it, where the word perplexed means they just cannot find a way out of it. When these things happen and you do see the calamities hitting our little Kenai here, the state of Alaska, the United States, and the whole world, and you see there does not seem to be any way out of it. Who can bring peace in such a chaotic world? Who can bring back prosperity when it seems like the world just has shrunk to where we're all intertwined with each other? And what is a problem in one nation brings a problem to another nation, and it just keeps going. And you see this instead of being perplexed if you know God and you have the Spirit of God. You know this Word of God. It makes you rejoice, doesn't it? Not rejoice at the hurt that's coming in the world, rather praying for them, but rejoicing at the fact that it's almost over with and that God will bring true peace, not this false or counterfeit peace that Satan is able to bring for such a short while. Knowing that these things are so close, each time that we start going into this, I wonder again, is this the last one? Or will this get a little better and then it'll hit again? Don't you wonder that? Knowing what the scriptures say. And I wonder about it too, each day wondering, are they going to be able to, by the politicians' manipulations and trying and the out monies and inflations, are they going to be able to bring that lull back again before the storm? That's what we're waiting for right now. Will they, or is it going to go worse? So this man, Antichrist, will probably be recognized. He will have to be here and in power before Satan takes over his body. It's probable, therefore, that the rise of the beast with the crown on his horns will precede the rapture. The rise of this man in power with the horns will precede the rapture. According to Daniel, this man whom Daniel calls the little horn, one and the same one, he will rise up and conquer three nations. Now, when we studied the prophecy of Daniel, we studied into that quite at length. We're not studying that right now. Daniel puts this before the heavenly scene that corresponds with Revelation 4 and 5. So it is likely we will see the rise of the man called the Antichrist. So that's what we can look for. Amen? When you see someone that seems to be, I don't know about you, but I can remember, what's it been, 10 years, 15 years, when Kissinger became such a man of the world, that books started coming out showing how he was probably the beast, how he was probably Antichrist because he was able to talk and bring peace the whole world over. I think there was even one book that came out trying to show how his name, if you added this and took away that and you moved in this, came up with the number 666. You're not going to have to add and multiply and subtract and change when it happens. It's going to be exact. So oftentimes we try to fit things in the prophecy in the Bible like we would a puzzle. You have a puzzle and you have pieces and you have a piece that it looks almost like it does fit, and you put it in that hole and it doesn't quite, and you try to stamp it in there, but it just doesn't quite fit, does it? And that's the way we do so oftentimes with prophecy. When it is time and it's fulfilled, there will be no doubt about it. God's people will recognize it and you'll see it. It will fit exactly. We will be seeing the next prophetic event is the rise of this man called Antichrist. Have any questions now? Well, probably we don't know if he conquers these three countries as individuals, you know, like one after another, or if they will already be under one country and he conquers that country. With all my heart, I believe we'll recognize when this man begins to ascend in his power, whether it takes a short while or a long time. The way things happen in the world today, it's like it's just almost overnight. The whole world situation changes. I believe we will know. His name began to be in every newscast. It will be in the paper. It will be in every event. And it will be a name that everyone, you know, has good say about it. Right now, usually you have one that one likes it and this one doesn't. This country's for him. This country isn't. You know, it's all separate and divided. With this man, it's not going to be like that. Everyone will find good in him find what they want in him. I don't mean good as good and evil. I mean in the fact he's able to bring about a seemingly peace. I believe he'll be very, very much out in the open with God's people anyway. Well, I think it's too late to go ahead because from verse 4 through 6, We'll read it and then we'll study into this next week. It shows again what it says in verse 2, that Satan gives the power to this man. But it says, they worshipped the dragon, which of course we know it tells us over here in chapter 12, verse 9, that's Satan, which gave power to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who's able to make war with him? And there was given to him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given to him to continue 42 months. This is another 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. We'll continue with this study next week. Will you stand with me? You know, we keep talking about the way God has moved in our midst in these last few months, actually, maybe this last year continuously. But it seems to be always on the same vein, that we have to be ready, get our mind off of ourselves and our own small, petty, and very insignificant problems. Because God takes care of us if we put our trust in Him. He stands on His word. We can trust every promise that's there. And if we would lift our eyes higher and realize that now when we see these things come to pass, what does it say? Our redemption draweth nigh. But with that puts us in such a debt to win souls, to go out into those hedges and compel them to come in. It's past the time of just sitting and waiting for them to come to us. Doesn't matter if there are many that turn down the word that you offer them. If just one soul can find the truth and salvation for his soul, by our reaching, that one soul will be sufficient. And we can't stop. We need to make our work reach deeper. And the only way we're going to be able to do this is to really be ready ourselves. Stop thinking about your own little individual likes and dislikes. What do they have to do with this time we're living in anyway? Know that God has you right here in the palm of His hand, and whatever happens is for a purpose. And beloved, let's reach for souls. Let's reach for them as our time draws so near. This is what He has us here for. This is the work He has for us to do, that we can, as He said of Himself, we can finish the work we're given to do. Amen. God bless you.